If you'd bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as we've sung those words this evening, words that proclaim that Jesus Christ is King, the Savior of this world, who came to die for me and everyone, Lord, who would believe in Him. Gracious Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to even as we come to the reading and proclaiming of your word, that we'd have that same attitude, believing that it is you, my God, who has revealed to us the riches of your word. It is you, O God, who has saved our souls and wants to grow us into the image of your Son, to an eternity rich, filled with the presence of this glorious God. So God, as we've worshipped you this evening, as we continue to worship in the preaching of your word, I pray that I would not be a hindrance. Lord, I bring myself to you as a vessel who is also a sinner, a vessel who is prone to error, prone to wonder. And God, I pray and I plead that God, by your Spirit, you would lead me. God, may everything that is done today be not because of a man, but may it be all of you. May I not look to take any glory from your word, but may the God of heaven, as Daniel says, receive all the glory of that which we would proclaim this day. We pray, Father, that you would soften our hearts. Help us, Lord, to receive your hearts with much thanksgiving. Receive your word, eager to apply it in our lives, God, that we may grow. And also proclaim to those who do not know that Jesus is alive, the Savior, King of the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So good evening, everyone. Welcome back to everyone who was on holiday. It's good to see most faces. I do pray and hope, as Cranker said, that you guys are feeling refreshed. The weird thing about holidays is they're not all refreshing. Some are more draining than school actually is. But I hope that you guys rested well and are ready for a new term. And I also would like to also just say something and make you guys aware that we have been praying for you. Some of the students, as you are back, you went to J-Dubs, and a lot of you guys made commitments. We pray that as you back, that you haven't forgotten about those commitments. That you're still as eager to follow God in obedience. You're still as eager to proclaim Christ in this darkened world. So we want you to know that we have been praying for you. So, welcome back, as I've said, to the evening service. This evening we wrap up Daniel chapter 2. We've been going from chapter 1 and now we find ourselves in chapter 2 from verse 37 to the end. But before we get there, I want to just let us know where we were last week. Last week we observed that revelation belongs to God. When Daniel was speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, he made it clear to him that it is the God of heaven who revealed this dream to him. Therefore, saints, 2019, we can trust and believe in the revelation we have received today because the source of it is true. The source of this revelation is the author of all truth, God himself. We saw as well that God expects his people to respond to his revelation in obedience. He expects us to respond as well in faith. We saw last week there was a great crisis as the wise men in the land of Babylon were being pursued by King Nebuchadnezzar to be destroyed. But God came in to save them by gifting Daniel with the ability to see dreams and to interpret them so that the people would know that there is a God in heaven and he is real. A quick reminder, and I said this reminder last week, I said again this week, Daniel was indeed a man of integrity and that's why God used him. He was a man who feared God and he had a strong conviction about the sovereignty of God. He had a strong conviction that God is indeed in control of all of the affairs of his life. So this evening, finally, we will reveal what this dream was and what the interpretation was. So if you have your Bibles or on your phone or in the pew, please turn with me to Daniel chapter 2 from verse 31 to 49. Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 to 49.
You saw, O king, and behold a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom God, the God of heaven, has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like the iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of the isle shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the day of those kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. And King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court.
Cool. Thanks, Tapa. I just wish you had like a nice costume that was so nice to listen to. Who has had this dream before, right? So I've once had this weird dream. I saw on Twitter that there are other people who are with me. So I don't know if you've had this dream before. I was once watching a football game and I fell asleep on the couch. It was probably Arsenal and Liverpool. So I fell asleep because of the quality of football. And while I was sleeping, I found myself in this dream, because I was watching soccer, I think my brain, I was playing soccer on the roof. Obviously the quality where I was playing was better than the game I was watching. But anyway, so we're playing soccer on the roof and we're playing with a lot of the fellas. And I lived in Hillbro, and if you know about anything about Hillbro, there's a lot of skyscrapers. So we lived in a really tall building, but I'm afraid of heights, story for another day. But we played on the roof. It was pretty cool, but if the ball fell to the ground, then it could hurt somebody. But anyway, so we played soccer there. And remember, this is a dream. And I remember as we were playing, I was defending on the other side, and this guy gave me a nudge, and I fell over. And as I was falling, I just remember screaming, oh, then all of a sudden, from the couch, I just got up, I fell on the floor, I bumped on the coffee table, and my mom and my brother are just like, what on earth is happening? Have you ever had that dream before? You wake up feeling unsettled. You wake up feeling, what on earth just happened to me? I feel like my stomach is chemically unbalanced. Anyway, King Nebuchadnezzar finds himself in a similar position. He has this dream that has woken him up, and he can't sleep for more days. He's unsettled. He's battling to sleep, as we've seen in chapter 2 verses 1, because this dream really shaped his reality. What he thought was sure, what he thought was building to go the long term, was in fact in this dream shown to be, it's actually just going to last temporarily. So something we need to note about kings is that kings go about and they have one job. His job is to go on and to extend his kingdom. His core aim, his sole aim, is to ensure that the borders of his kingdom spreads. And he does this by conquering different nations as he extends. And we know that King Nebuchadnezzar is on this mission, because when he got Daniel and his friends, he had just conquered Judah. So if you were here, you've probably heard this part before, but this is to catch us all up. So then what happens is this king now, he's working to make a great name for himself. If you go back and you read in chapter 2 again, he's described as, "O king, live forever." This is a king who really was known for trying to make great things. Now, the king is unsettled here because if you remember in chapter 2 verse 1, it says that he was troubled. He felt entitled of the title King of Kings because he has dropped many who came in his way. But what happened in Nebuchadnezzar's dream is that God once again reminded him that he was indeed low, and it was God who was high. So what I want us to know today is the first point is the dream was actually revealed and it was interpreted. So God reveals the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and he reveals this dream with using certainty. If you look at verse 28 of chapter 2, it says, "He made known to the king what will be." Verse 29, it says, "He reveals mysteries, made known to you what is to be." If you look at the end if you look at the end of chapter 45, it says, "The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure." Well, what Daniel is reminding this king is that what the Lord reveals to you in your dream is not conditional. It's not conditioned by anything that you do, because this was a guy who was used to changing his future, or changing or fixing crisis that came before him. What Daniel is making with much certainty that, hey, king, what is going to happen, there's nothing you can do about it, but it is a reality. What was his future, we know, is now our past. The dream that was revealed to him, these things had already happened, and we are currently living through the last section of his dream, awaiting the coming Savior. So we can testify today that God is indeed good and the author of all mysteries. So Daniel first gives the king what he sees in this dream before he interprets what the dream meant. Now this is very important, because many times what we find today is we go through the prophecy, or we go through God's word, and we go on to make interpretations outside of God's word. Now, it's very important that Daniel makes it clear to the king that the interpretation of your dream is coming from the same source of the revelation. 2019. If you want to know the interpretation of God's word, you need to go to the God of heaven who reveals these mysteries. The statue now symbolized here, we'll go through it now. So if you read with me in chapter 36, it says, "This was the dream." Now the dream is being revealed. "Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given what wherever they dwell, the children of men, the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold." So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and in this dream is a dream of a statue. And what we're going to go through now is what the different parts of the statue were to symbolize. And the first one we see is the head. Daniel, in revealing this part to the king, he sort of toots the king's horn. He shares with the king that, hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, you are high and mighty. You possess power. You possess might and glory. All things have been placed under your stewardship. Oh, what a great king you are. And you can imagine King Nebuchadnezzar sitting there, listening to Daniel just say these things about him. If you weren't there, there's gotta be trouble. At my wedding, I was standing before Pastor Charles, and Pastor Charles was preaching to Toby and I. And he got to this section where he started describing us. Now he said some things that many will disagree with, but as he was describing me, he was like, you know, Jabu is a person I've seen to love the Lord, and I'm standing there like, mm-hmm. And then he went on and he said, I've noticed that Jabu is a person, you know, who's athletic and has an athlete's body. I just stood there. I was like, praise the Lord Jesus. Prophecy has come. So the reality is the king is sitting there and Daniel is telling him that, hey, you are the King of Kings. You are the King with all glory and might. God has made you the head. You see that big chunk in the dream that you dreamt? King Nebuchadnezzar, it's you. You are the great head of the statue. But he comes back and reminds this king. He says, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, it is the God of heaven who gave you all of this. It's the God of heaven who allowed you to be this great king. It's not of your own doing. The greatest kings would have more power, but what is given to him is from above. If you read with me in Jeremiah chapter 27, in fact, I'll read it. Jeremiah 27 verse 5 to 7. Jeremiah says this. Well, it's the Lord through Jeremiah. It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth with the men and the animals that are on the earth. And I give it to whoever it seems right to me. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. I have given him all the beasts of the fields to serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. Crazy reminder. King Nebuchadnezzar, as you are this great king, as you are right now sitting on this throne having conquered empires, remember that you will be brought low. It says, but you will be overthrown by a kingdom inferior to yours. Whoa. This great king who has worked so hard to establish this great kingdom will be overthrown by a lesser kingdom. What a reality that we should really think about today. What God is revealing to this great king is that, like bowling pins, your empire will not stand, but it will be toppled. You will be striked out. And the funny thing is, King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't go and argue with Daniel, because it was Nebuchadnezzar who dreamt this dream. This dream was revealed to him by God. All Daniel is doing is telling him his dream and interpreting it to him. So Nebuchadnezzar knew that this must be true. We have the fortunate ability to look at hindsight. And we can ask ourselves the question, where is Nebuchadnezzar's empire today? What God has said will happen had happened, for his revelation is true. His truth will stand. No word of the Lord will be proven false. That is why today we need to be very careful about people who call themselves prophets. Because if they say to you that something is going to happen and that thing does not happen, what they are saying is that their source got it wrong. And they are claiming that their source is God. We therefore need to be very careful. What the Lord had revealed had come to pass. Praise be to God who reveals mysteries to you and to me. The next thing I want us to look at is the rest of the body. It's chest and arms, it's middle and thighs, and then it's legs and feet. Now there's something, a little bit of a disclaimer before we get to this portion. What I want you to notice is that when Daniel describes the chest and arms, the middle and thighs, the legs and feet, he doesn't give more detail. So I'm not going to go into detail because Daniel didn't see fit to give the king the details. But what I will do is I will share with you what a lot of scholars have witnessed by the empires that came after Nebuchadnezzar's empire and who they think that these body parts represent. So the first one is the chest and the arms. The chest and the arms represent the Medes and the Persians. This kingdom was founded by Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian. And its alliance is why they use the two arms which meet together at the breast. The next part is the middle and the thighs. This would represent the Greek Empire. The kingdom is known for Alexander the Great. Listen to a quote about Alexander. It says, Alexander himself, it shall by the power of the sword bear rule over all the earth, for Alexander boasted that he had conquered the world. And then sat down and wept because he had not another world to conquer. This is a kingdom that describes the Greek Empire that would come after the Medes and the Persians. And then you look at the legs and the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. The legs of iron is believed to be the Roman Empire, which was as strong as iron, as you see in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. You can witness the prevalence of that kingdom against all that contended with the Romans for many years. But it would be weakened later, and it would be divided by other kingdoms. That's why we see that the feet were partly of clay and partly of iron. But we see a stone. And this is where Daniel then comes back and gives more detail. We see a stone that was cut out by no human hands. And if anything, by the end of this message today, I want you to leave doing nothing but praising God for his kingdom that he is building. We see here that it should be neither raised nor supported by human power or policy. No visible hand should act in setting up this kingdom. It is revealed to this great king that there is a kingdom that is coming. A kingdom that's coming that's not only greater than your kingdom, which is the head. It's greater than all the kingdoms. This kingdom is from outside of the world. And it will destroy all that man has built and established as certain. This kingdom represents Christ. Christ who would come and he would set up his kingdom. He would come and he would build his church, who would proclaim the gospel, setting and building his kingdom, which he will come and finish. When Jesus came, he came to establish the church, who would do this great work. The beautiful thing and also the confusing thing about the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God, when we read the scriptures, is represents both a now thing and both a thing that is to come. Because we see this, that the kingdom of God is God's reign. God is sovereign over all. His sovereign action in the world to redeem and deliver a people and then at a future time finish it. And renew his people and the universe completely. Remember that when Christ came, this great glorious king, he came riding on a donkey. He came as the servant, humbled himself to serve us his blood, to give this offering of his blood, the spotless lamb, given his blood in the mercy seat of God. He was crucified, but praise the Lord, he is risen today and is seated at the right hand of God, the position of authority. And glory be to God that Jesus, our Savior, King, is coming again. A stone not cut out by human hands is coming again. That leads us to our next point. The kingdom of God will last in eternity. The central truth of chapter 2, the central truth of the book of Daniel is that the kingdom of God will last forever. This same God who sees and knows all things, who gave this king all this power and gave him this dream and its interpretation, he will come back and he will rule. And in the days of those kings, it says in the passage, the God of heaven will set a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Amen. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is true. When God is revealing the interpretation of this dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he doesn't want Nebuchadnezzar to be ill-informed. He makes Nebuchadnezzar know that this coming kingdom is not just greater than your little bubble, but it is greater than all kingdoms. And all men will know who the real king is. That also means you and me. The little kingdom that we are looking to establish today on earth, the little kingdom that we are working tirelessly to build here on earth to receive the praise of men, that kingdom will be toppled by the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords will come back and once again receive his rightful place on the throne, and we will look at him and know that he is Lord. The God of heaven will come back to rule over his creation. Although John chapter 1 verse 9 to 13 says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. This king would come onto the earth and he would be rejected by his servants temporarily, but it would cost them their eternity. Many will reject the Lord whilst they're still alive. They will reject the reality of the king whilst they still breathe. But what we forget is this is all just temporal. There's an eternity that is coming. So whenever we make decisions and we think, will this please God or will this please me for the now? Remember that the God of eternity is saying, I want my servants to already serve me today. For I am coming back to establish my kingdom. It's unfortunate that many do believe in the lordship of Christ, that Christ is God, he is king, but we deny it in our practice. Before Christ came, John the Baptist was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus was on earth, he himself said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Friends, his time is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel that will save your soul. Believe in the gospel that will make you whole. Believe in the gospel that will transform your life. The rightful king is coming back to take his place. Reality is that there will never be a king today on this earth who will rule with complete integrity and honor. As long as we are alive in this fallen world, we will forever suffer under the rule of fallen men and women who hunger for power, who hunger for riches and hunger for themselves. This is why the church needs to be on their knees and praying to the Lord Jesus, saying, "Oh Lord, won't you come? Lord, come and establish your great kingdom. A kingdom that we know there will be no tears. A kingdom where we know there will be no pain, no rejection, no sorrow, no suffering. A kingdom that will be led in honor, in holiness, in grace, and in truth. Where love and joy shall reign." Do you long for this kingdom? Do you still desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ come back and restore this broken world? This should be an encouragement to the saints and drive us to be kingdom-minded. God chose you and God chose me. He called you into His army. He has given you His arsenal. He has given you the ammunition to take on this evil world as a soldier of the kingdom of light. Please, Christian, won't you wake up? Wake up, Christian. The war is raging. Stop ignoring it. The war is raging. You have seen it before your own eyes, and you need to be active. If you consider yourself a Christian dressed in the righteousness of Christ, what God is calling of you is that you be active in the work of the building of His kingdom, preaching the gospel that the church of Christ may grow. We can't be comfortable on the fence, claiming ignorance with the truth of God revealed to us and in us. Go and be about the Lord's business. Share the gospel of Christ with much boldness. God wants to extend the borders of His kingdom with you and me. We need more people who are going to say like Paul, "I'm unashamed of this message." Like the king and many other kingdoms would go and conquer other kingdoms because they thought they were the best. They wanted to be conquerors. We too need to go about the Lord's business, conquering the world with the gospel of Christ. Unashamed of it, for it's the message of salvation, the message of victory to all who would believe. It has been declared that He will return. He will return wielding His sword. He will return no longer riding on a donkey, but He will return riding on a horse, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He will take His rightful place and rule as King. The question is, how do we feel about those who are lost? Those who will experience the full wrath of this righteous judge and king. How do we feel that they will spend an eternity outside of Christ? I pray that we would be convicted to say, "I want to go. I want to go and proclaim Jesus Christ. I want to go and share to the world that my God reigns. And He reigns forever." To close, I want us to look at the king's response and then our response in 2019. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, 'Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men. And Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court." We need to realize that as I was reading this, I heard from another sermon that Daniel was probably aware of what happened to Joseph. He probably had read the book of Genesis and he had seen that God used Joseph to interpret Potiphar's dream. And after he had interpreted this dream, he was then placed in the king's courts. And Daniel likewise received favor from Nebuchadnezzar, he knew that this is a thing of God. God brought Nebuchadnezzar's face to the ground, although we will see it was only briefly, to pay tribute to the God of heaven. He sounds praises to the God, saying, man, surely you are the God of gods. Surely you are the Lord of lords, the revealer of mysteries. He's a God who is greater than all the gods of Babylon. He now realizes what Isaiah has been challenging all the kings in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah says, set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proofs, says the king of Jacob. Let them bring them and tell us what is to happen. Tell us the former things, what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome, or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what is to come afterwards, that we may know that you are gods and go and do harm, that we may be dismayed and terrified. Verse 24. Behold, you are nothing. Your work is less than nothing. An abomination is he who chooses you. This is the reality of any other God who chooses to come after the true God of Israel. So do you stand firm in your belief of God? Are you certain that he indeed is the God of gods and the Lord of lords? Unfortunately, I'm not convinced that Nebuchadnezzar was. Because if we continue reading in Daniel, we're going to later see that he goes and he rejects this revelation of God, and he goes and he builds himself a full statue of God, saying, my kingdom will last forever. Like we do today. Rejecting that God says, all men are to worship me. That is the chief purpose of men, to worship God with all our lives. Many times we reject God and build an altar to ourselves, build an idol to ourselves and worship it. So Nebuchadnezzar's praise here was only that his dream was revealed and that his mind was put at ease. So how should we respond in 2019? Daniel had a good band of brothers. When he got into the king's quarters and he received this promotion, he said, I have only one request, that my brothers would also receive a place in the king's palace. I believe it's because he knew that God had called these men. These men would have an influence on the empire because they were chosen of God. They had the revelation of God and they believed and they feared God. Daniel knew that he also needed his friends close by, not because it's one of those started from the bottom, now we're here. But I think it was because he wanted to ensure that now that he's up there, he has this accountability so that he will not fall into compromise. Like he went to them and said, brothers, let us pray. He knows he still has the opportunity to go back to his brothers and pray with them. My question is, who are your prayer partners? Who are your accountability partners? As we go about in establishing and trying to build this kingdom of God that he has called us to, who is working with you? His brothers would help him hold to godly standards. So the question is, who is helping you from falling into compromise? I want us to know for certain that sin brings about shame, that usually we reject people because they point out that sin, which brings to light our shame. But we read in Scripture that we need these brothers to do that very job, to tell us when we have fallen so that we can rightly walk with Christ. So to close, I just want to close with the Lord's Prayer. And that is the challenge for the 2019 saint. This is how we should be responding. We should respond and firstly praise God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven where the angels don't ask any questions. In heaven where the angels are in complete obedience to you. Gracious God, won't you let that be the response of us here on earth? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So won't you join us in building the kingdom of God? Won't you be convicted that God is sovereign over all? And won't you be encouraged that your work is not in vain, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back, and is coming back in victory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I cannot help but be excited and praise you because you already are the victorious Christ. And God, when you come back, you coming back in more victory. You coming back to finally establish your kingdom as Lord. But God, I pray as we still walk this earth, tempted by our hearts, the evil that dwells within us, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to listen to the conviction of the Spirit. That, Father, we would strive to walk in the light, to walk worthy of our calling. Our calling as kingdom saints, high priests, representatives of God. So Lord, as we go about wearing this armor of Christ, Lord, may people not only know that we are Christians because we tell them, but Lord, may they know we Christians because we are about our Father's business. We are about preaching this gospel unashamedly. We are about proclaiming the name of Jesus that all would hear and come to know him as the Savior King. So God, thank you for your revelation. Thank you, God, that we can read in your word and be encouraged that, Lord, even as we suffer on this earth today, as we suffer for righteousness' sake, and God, we fail you many times, thank you firstly that you do forgive us. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone who is in this room or even myself, if we just feel like we're just burdened because we've been failing you constantly in the work of building your kingdom, Father, help us to realize that we have forgiveness in Christ. And God, you, once we've confessed our sins and you forgive us, we are reconciled to enjoy fellowship with God as saints who are extending the borders of your kingdom. So God, won't you build your church? Won't you continue using us here at Central to build your church? Won't you bring about people who will come and will be transformed by this glorious gospel and will later even leave Central and go elsewhere and continue preaching the gospel where your kingdom is just being extended? Thank you, God, for your glorious work of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.